ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं शैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरते नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भक्तिर्भवति भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। श्रीमद्भागवतम् శ్రీమద్భాగవతం క్యాంటో నంబర్ 6 చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 5 శ్లోక నంబర్ 37 టుడే సో లెట్ మీ రిసైట్ దిస్ వర్స్ రుణై స్త్రీభిర ముక్తానాం రుణై స్త్రీభిర ముక్తానాం अमीमांसिता कर्मणाम् अमीमांसिता कर्मणाम् विघातः श्रेयशः पाप विघातः श्रेयशः पाप लोकायोरुभयोकृतः लोकायोरुभयोकृतः ऋणै स्त्रीभिरामुक्तानाम् अमीमांसिता कर्मणाम् विघातः श्रेयशः पाप लोकायोरुभयोकृतः। ऋणै स्त्रीभिरमुक्तानाम् अमीमांसितकर्मणाम् विघातः श्रेयशः पाप लोकयोरुभयोकृतः। ऋणै स्त्रीभिरमुक्तानाम् अमीमांसिता कर्मणाम् विघातः श्रेयशः पाप लोकयोरुभयोकृतः। ऋणै स्त्रीभिरामुक्तानाम् अमीमांसिता कर्मणाम् विघातः श्रेयशः पाप लोकायोरुभयोकृतः। ऋणै स्त्रीभिरमुक्तानाम् अमीमांसिता कर्मणाम् विघातः श्रेयशः पाप लोकयोरुभयोकृतः। माताजी, ऋणै स्त्रीभिरमुक्तानाम् अमीमांसिता कर्मणाम् विघातः श्रेयशः पाप लोकायोरुभयोकृतः। Hare Krishna. Text number 37. Rinai Stribir Amuktanam Amimam Sita Karmanam Vighatha Shreyashah Papa Lokayor Ubhayokrataha. Meaning of this verse: Rinai, from the depths. Tribhi, three. Amuktanam, of persons not freed. Amimamsita, not considering. Karmanam, the path of duty. Vighatah, ruin. Shreyashah, of the path of good fortune. Papa, O most sinful. Narada Muni, Lokayo, of the words. Ubayah, both. Krita, done. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ji ki. Prajapati Daksha said, my sons were not at all freed from their three debts. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narad Muni, O personality of sinful action, you have obstructed their progress toward good fortune in this world and the next, because they are still indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods and their father. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As soon as a Brahmana takes a birth, he assumes three kinds of debts. Debts to great saints, debts to demigods, and debts to his father. The son of a Brahmana must undergo celibacy, brahmacharya, to clear his debt to the saintly persons. He must perform ritualistic ceremonies to clear his debts to the demigods. And he must beget children to become free from his debts to his father. Prajapati Daksha argued that although the renounced order is recommended for liberation, one cannot attain liberation unless one fulfills his obligations to the demigods, the saints and his father. Since Daksha's son had not liberated themselves from these three debts, how could Narad Muni have led them to the renounced order of life? Apparently, Prajapati Daksha did not know the final decision of the Shastras. As stated in Bhagavatam 11.5.41, Devarsi Bhutapta Naranam Pitranam Na Kinkaro Nayam Rina Charajan Sarvatmana Yaha Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Pariharta Kartam. Everyone is indebted to the demigods, to living entities in general, to his family, to the pitas and so on. But if one fully surrenders to Krishna, Mukunda, who can give one liberation? Even if one performs no yajnas, one is freed from all debts. Even if one does not repay his debts, he is freed from all the debts if he renounces the material world for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet are the shelter of everyone. This is the verdict of Shastra. Therefore, Narad Muni was completely right in instructing the sons of Prajapati Daksha to renounce the material world immediately and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, the father of the Haryaswas and Savalaswas, did not understand the great service rendered by the Narad Muni. Daksha therefore addressed him as Papa, the personality of sinful activities, and Asadhu, a non-saintly person. Since Narad Muni was a great saint and Vaishnava, he tolerated all such accusations from Prajapati Daksha. He merely performed his duty as a Vaishnava by delivering all the sons of the Prajapati Daksha, enabling them to return home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುಂ ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾಮಯ್ಯ ದದಾಚಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ್ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ್ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. I sincerely welcome all the devotees here for this today's Bhagavatam class, and I fall unto the dust of lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas here so that they would bestow mercy upon me so that I can read the transcendental topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we will try to understand this verse in three sections. The first is the background. Let me read the background for this shloka. Prajapati Daksha, influenced by the external energy of the Lord Vishnu, first he performed tapasya for several years, and Lord Vishnu came personally to bestow mercy upon Prajapati Daksha. And seeing the desires of the Prajapati Daksha, Lord Vishnu told Daksha that you marry a girl known as Panchajanya and beget children from her. So Prajapati Daksha, after receiving the benedictions and mercy from the Lord, he starts progeny, producing children. And from the womb of the Panchajani, Prajapati Daksha begets 10,000 children. And all these 10,000 children were saintly persons. They were all equal in their character and mentality. They were known as Hariyasvas. These 10,000 children were known as Hariyasvas. And when they came to the youth, Prajapati Daksha instructed them that you go to perform tapasya, because after receiving the mercy of the Lord, you enter into the grahastha ashrama and then you become good grahastha and beget children. So that was the instruction of the father. So the Hariyasvas, very sincere children, sons of the Prajapati Daksha, they just followed the order of the Daksha and went to a place known as Narayana Saras. This is a very holy place in India, Narayana Saras. Actually, it is said in Indian scripture, there are 5 holy places, very, very holy places where all the great saintly persons have performed tapasyas. So which are these 5 holy places? These are known as sarovara, lakes. So first one is Manas Sarovar. As we know, that this Manas Sarovar is a very popular place in India. And this today is at the place nearby Tibet. It's India and China border. So this is a very holy place. In the history, many great saints have performed tapasya here. And second place, another sarovara in India, is Bindu Sarovara. And this Bindu Sarovara today in India, it is near Ahmedabad, Gujarat. And you know, it is said in Shastra that this Bindu Sarovara is formed by the tears of Lord Vishnu. And this is also considered to be very holy places. All great saints, Vaishnavas has performed the tapasya in this Bindu Sarovara. Then the third place is the Narayana Sarovara, where this Hariyasvas performed tapasya. And this Narayana Sarovara is today, it's near the place called Kutch in Gujarat. It's border of Pakistan. And this is a very, very holy place. All the great saints in India have performed, many great saints in India have performed tapasya, and this is a very, very purified place. Then the fourth sarovara is Pampa Sarovara. This is in Karnataka, where Hanumanji was born, you know. And this is near place called Pampa Sarovara. It's also very, very holy place. And the fifth one is Pushkar. As we know, the Pushkar is in Rajasthan, where there is a only one temple, Brahmaji's temple, and this is also very, very holy place. So we find in Bhagavatam at several occasion the references of all these five Sarovara in India. So the Hariyaswas went to this holy place called Narayana Sarovara. So they performed tapasya because they wanted to enter into the Grihastha Ashram, and every day they touched the waters of this Narayana Sarovara, they purified. And for many days they observed the fasting just by drinking that water of the Narayana Sarovara and also taking air. When Narad Muni, a great saint and the devotee, pure devotee of Lord Krishna, he happened to come to that place and he saw that Hariyaswas, a very saintly children of Prajapati Daksha, are performing such an austerity. But Narad Muni, he found that these boys are performing tapasya just for, you know, material benefit. And Narad Muni, as we know, a great devotee of the Lord, and he is compassionate to all the jivas. And he thought that this is a best opportunity for me for a youth preaching. 10,000 students at a time, and this is an opportunity for liberating them, giving them a transcendental wisdom whereby they need not have to entangle into this Grihastha Ashram. So Narad Muni goes near to this Hariyaswas and asks them, "My dear children of Prajapati Daksha, do you know the purpose of life? Why you are performing so severe austerity? Do you know?" And he allegorically, in some enigmatic words, that mysterious words, he asked them some mysterious questions. "Do you know there is a hole? When the jiva enters there, he will never, it's very difficult to come back. Do you know that there is only one supreme?" So like this, by mysterious questions, the Hariyaswas got confused. And they came to know that we know nothing. And without knowing all these things, how can we enter the Grihastha Ashrama? Hariyaswas says, "Dear Narad Muni, kindly instruct us, what should we do?" Then Narad Muni tells them that the purpose of human life is to attain the Supreme Lord. And this material world, if one enters into this, and it's very difficult to come back. So if you don't know all these things, how you are going to enter the Grihastha Ashrama? Then immediately following the saintly instructions of the Narad Muni, the Hariyaswas left everything and went to attain the Supreme Lord, and they never came back. When Prajapati Daksha came to know about all my 10,000 children became sadhus, brahmacharis, and he became very sad. Prajapati Daksha wanted them to become grihasthas, but they all became brahmacharis. And he became very furious, angry on Narad Muni. But then, at that time, Lord Brahma came and he pacified Prajapati Daksha. "All right, they have gone for a good purpose, so you don't have to worry. You know, you produce again children and then maybe we get children from Panchajani." So by the instruction of Brahmaji, Prajapati Daksha beget 1,000, another 1,000 children from the womb of Panchajani. So these 1,000 children, the second lot from Prajapati Daksha, they were also very saintly children of the Prajapati Daksha. Similarly, as Prajapati Daksha wanted them to become grihasthas, he again instructed them, "You go to a holy place and perform tapasya." So these 1,000 children of Prajapati Daksha are called as Salaswas, Shavalaswas.
Savalaswas. So they are called as Savalaswas. They were also saintly persons. And these 1000 Savalaswas again go to the same place, Narayan Saras, which is in Gujarat, a very, very holy place. They just followed their elder brothers and they performed tapasya so as to enter into the grihastha ashram. Again, Narad Muni saw this 1000 lot, a very good opportunity for youth preaching. And he again comes and talks to these 1000 children of Prajapati Daksha. My dear sons of Prajapati Daksha, you are the great saintly person. And do you know what you are doing? If you perform tapasya, already your brothers, elder brothers have performed tapasya and they have gone to the right way, righteous way. And a good brothers of a saintly person always follow the path of elder brother. And if one follow the path of an elder brother, you know, he gets all that benefits of the Swargaloka. So, hearing the message from the Narad Muni, the Savalaswas, also who were purified by performing tapasya, being by the influence of that holy place, Narayan Saras, and touching the holy water, they came to the instructions of the Narad Muni, and they also left to become brahmacharyas. Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji ki jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Bhakt Hanuman Ji ki. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So the Savalaswas also went to become brahmacharis. Now you can understand the agony of the Prajapati Daksha. In the first place, 10,000 children all became brahmachari. And he was so much angry on Narad Muni, but because Brahmaji pacified him, so he could tolerate that. But now in this time, again 1000 children, they all became brahmachari. So Prajapati Daksha became very, very furious on Narad Muni. And he started blaspheming Narad Muni. So he said, Narad Muni, you are in the dress of sadhu, but you are behaving like a sadhu. How can you instruct my children to go, to leave this world and become sadhus? They are still boys. They are not yet purified. They have not performed the dharma, artha, kama, moksha. How can be they liberated? And how dare you are to instruct them? And you are not following shastras. So he started blaspheming them. You are in the dress of sadhu, but you are behaving like a sadhu. So this is according to Prajapati Daksha. And look at me, I am the grihastha, but I am following the righteous path of the Vedas and Shastras. I am in the dress of grihastha, but I am like sadhu. So he was, you know, boosting himself and blaspheming Narad Muni. So in this verse, and the context of this verse is Prajapati Daksha is telling Narad Muni, Prajapati Daksha said, my sons were not at all freed from their debts. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narad Muni, O personality of sinful actions, you have obstructed their progress toward good fortune. I had instructed them to seek a good fortune, to perform tapasya and come back and enter into the grihastha ashram. But you have obstructed their path of good fortune in this world and also next. And they are still indebted to the saintly person, the demigods and their father. Now, according to the Vedas and Shastras, if a person takes birth in the Brahmin family, a saintly person, he has three debts, runa. The first is debts to all saintly persons, because he gets all the instructions from the saintly persons, so he has a debt, runa, to pay them back. And he has debt to his pitrus, father, because he gets this material body, which is a human body, as we know, it's a very most precious form of the human body. As he received the human body from the fathers, so he has a debt to repay them back. And the third debt is to the demigods. As we know, all the demigods are the representative of Lord Vishnu. Like Varuna, Surya, Chandra, Vayu, and so many 33 crore, 33 crores Devi Devatas. And a person receives in human body so many benefits from all these demigods. We receive air, which we do not pay anything for this air. This air comes from Vayu, who is the controller of the air. And we receive the rain from Varuna. We don't pay anything. And we receive sunlight from Surya. We don't pay anything. So many things we receive, although all these things from Lord Vishnu comes from, all these things come from Lord Vishnu, but the demigods are representative of all these resources. So a person when takes a birth in the Brahmana family, righteous family, he has three debts to repay. One is to his fathers, the saintly persons, and to the demigods. So Daksha, Prajapati Daksha is telling Narad Muni, as you know, according to Shastra, a Brahmana who wears the thread has to repay this debt by performing tapasya, by undergoing the severe austerities, and then by, three ways how to repay the debt. He says, how one can repay the debts to the saintly person. If one observes the celibacy, brahmacharya, up to the age of 25, then he automatically repays the debts to the saintly person. So observing the oaths of the brahmacharya is to repay the debts to the saintly person. And similarly, by performing the ritualistic ceremonies like yajnas and other, ritualistic ceremonies, one repays the debts to the demigods. And by begetting children, by entering into the grahasthas and producing the children so that he will maintain the dynasty of the pitrus and the fathers, one repays the debts of the fathers. So Daksha is telling Narad Muni, this according to the Shastra, these are the three ways by which one repays the debts of all these three people, all these three sources. So how you can instruct them? They are not yet purified, but you have obstructed their path of progress by telling them to become brahmacharis. But actually Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that Prajapati Daksha does not know that the final verdict of all the Shastras, the conclusion of all the Shastras, although what Prajapati Daksha said, it also is referred in the Shastras, but it is at the intermediary stage, preliminary stage. One has to purify step by step. But there is a progressive path which Narad Muni has instructed to this Haryaswas and Savalaswas. So in this, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a quote, Devarsi Bhutapta Naranam Pitranam Na Kinkara Nayam Rinacha Rajan. So Sukadeva Goswami is telling to the Parikshita Maharaj, everyone is indebted to the demigods, to living entities in general, to his family, to the Pitras and so on. But if one fully surrenders to the Krishna, Mukunda, who can give one liberation? Even if one performs no yajnas, one is free from all the debts. So this is the verdict of Shastra. This is the final conclusion. If one surrenders to the Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna, all his debts are cleared. So this is also the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna challenges the devotee. He asks Arjuna, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papyabhya mokshayishyami mashucha. So to abandon all this dharma, so called dharma, you just surrender to me and I will relieve you from all the debts, all the sins that you have thought you have committed and you have thought of committed in all your previous life. I will relieve from all those sins. Mashucha daromat. Not to be fearful. So this is the verdict of Shastras. So after blaspheming Narad Muni, Prajapati Daksha curses him that Narad Muni, since you have done this papa, according to Prajapati Daksha, he thinks that this is a papa because he has obstructed the path of progress of the Hariyaswas and Savalaswas. I will curse you today that you will not remain in one place and you will be roaming around. Now in this verse, what we have to learn from this verse is the great saintly qualities of Narad Muni. You know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, every shloka is so potent that at end of the shloka, there is lot to learn. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is Nigamah Kalpataro, Galitam Phalam. So in this verse, the greatest qualities of Narad Muni, that is the conclusion of this shloka today. Although Narad Muni was such an exalted devotee of Lord Vishnu, he had such a potency and power that he could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return. But he was such a great devotee that he accepted the curse of Prajapati Daksha very coolly without reacting. And this is one of the greatest quality of a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. So Prajapati Daksha, he said, "All right, let there be curse upon me." And he says, "What you have said is good." Narad Muni accepted Prajapati Daksha's curse, saying, "Tad badam, what you said is good to me. I accept this curse." Smilingly, he accept this curse. And you know, after receiving this curse, as we know, Narad Muni became so glorious. And in all the Vedic literature, Narad Muni is referred as Triloka Sanchari. Although this was the curse of Prajapati Daksha, that he will not stay in one place. He will be roaming around. He will not have house to stay. But this was a great boon for Narad Muni. And he wanders in all three lokas. He goes to Swargaloka without any aeroplane. And he goes to Bhuloka at any places. And he participates in all the Lord's transcendental activities. And he glorifies the Lord. And so the conclusion of this shloka is the great qualities of Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, as we know, is one of the Mahajanas. And he is the friend of demons and also his friend of devotees and his friend of demigods. As we know in the history, in Bhagavatam, at several places Narad Muni has helped the demons. Narad Muni has helped devotees. Narad Muni has helped children like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, instructed them. Narad Muni has instructed the soul in other bodies like snake. Narad Muni has instructed to pigs, in a soul in the pig body. Once Indra was in the pig body, Narad Muni very compassionate to that, he came to that place and instructed Indra, "What you are doing? This is material world, the dirty place. You come back, you were Indra in your previous life." So instructed. So Narad Muni is a great saintly person. And there is a very important incident, you know, just few days back, His Holiness Prabodhanand Saraswati Maharaj was having a very nice class about Prahlad Charita. And one question for all ordinary jivas like us, it comes to our mind, that Hiranyakashipu, who was a demon, and how is that Prahlad, such a great personality, took birth in the womb of Kayadu? So it's a question. Sometimes we get, you know, bewildered. How is that Prahlad Maharaj came in the womb of Kayadu, a wife of a demon? So there is a story, His Holiness Prabodhanand Saraswati Maharaj very nicely narrating the story, how it happened. So this was by mercy of Narad Muni. So Hiranyakashipu became very powerful and he became very agonistic towards the Lord Vishnu because he killed Hiranyaksha. And he wanted to take a revenge. He wanted to kill Vishnu. So this is by the influence of Lord's energy. He wanted to kill Lord Vishnu. And he thought that all the devotees, demigods, are very dear to Vishnu. So let me trouble them. He started troubling everyone. He started destroying the trees. He started killing the cows, just like in Kali Yuga. So Narad Muni, very compassionate, became very compassionate towards this Jiva. So he wanted to liberate him. So Hiranyakashipu thought that I will perform tapasya and I will attain that power to kill Lord Vishnu. And one day he decides to go to tapasya and tells Kayadu that I will go to perform tapasya and come back with a great strength, siddhi, to kill Lord Vishnu. And he immediately leaves home, goes to a place, Mandar Parvat, and starts performing a severe tapasya. With the both hands raised, with his, you know, standing on the tip of the toes, he performs a great severe, starts performing austerity. And he starts chanting the name of Lord Brahma, Om Brahmaya Nama, Om Brahmaya Nama. And Narad Muni, becoming compassionate towards the Hiranyakashipu, he meets Parvat Muni, who is a very good friend of Narad Muni, and tells, let's go to this place. So they take the form of two parrots. They become parrot. And just at the side, towards the 2 ears of the Hiranyakashipu, who was performing tapasya in the tree, they start chanting loudly, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. So they both starts disturbing Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu got bewildered. You know, he's very animistic towards this word Narayana. So what is this happening? Who are you? So he starts, you know, shouting at those birds, parrots, please go away from here. They go away for some time, again come. When Hiranyakashipu starts chanting the Om Namo Brahma's chanting, Narad Muni and Parvat Muni comes in the form of parrot and again chant Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. So entire day, the first day, they start disturbing him. And Hiranyakashipu thinks that, oh, today the day is not good. Probably I have started from my house without seeing the proper time. Maybe this is not the proper time today. So let me go back home. So Hiranyakashipu goes home back that evening and he was very disturbed in the mind. I wanted to perform tapasya, but these, you know, foolish birds are disturbing me. And immediately Kayadu, when she saw Hiranyakashipu, she asked, what happened? In the morning you told me that you will come back with all that potency by performing tapasya. Did you achieve that potency? Did you got all that siddhi? Hiranyakashipu, no, today is very bad day. Let me seek the guidance of some pandits and let me see some good time, because today the day was not good. There were two foolish birds who were disturbing me and they were chanting Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. Kayadu was a devotee of Lord Vishnu, and you know she understood that there is some good fortune for Hiranyakashipu. She repeatedly asked him, what did that bird say? Hiranyakashipu said, they were saying Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. She said, I did not hear, what did the bird say? I'm telling you, they said Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. So like this for several times, Kayadu makes Hiranyakashipu to chant the name of the Lord Narayana. And Narasimha Purana that even if one chants the holy name of Lord Vishnu, all his sins will be washed away. So although Hiranyakashipu was a demon who was agonistic to Lord Vishnu, but although he performed unknowingly the names of the Lord Vishnu several times because Kayadu insisted him, so all his sins were washed away. And that day, Kayadu thought that today I must get a child from Hiranyakashipu. And Prabodhananda Saraswati Maharaj was telling, so Kayadu ask him to give a child. So that day they have Sambhoga and Prahlad Maharaj enters into the womb of Kayadhu that day. No, this is by great mercy of Narad Muni that Prahlad Maharaj came in the womb of Kayadhu. So there are so many stories of Narad Muni who is a pure devotee of Lord. He is one of the Bara Mahajanas. Narad Muni is one of the Bara Mahajanas. He is also called as Devarsi Narada. So actually this Narada word is bestowed upon Narad Muni by Lord Vishnu. Actually the meaning of the word Narada, Nara means wisdom, Da means giver. The one who gives wisdom is Narada. So Narad Muni, throughout the world, he is wandering freely into all the worlds. He always helps the souls to liberate, giving this transcendental wisdom to this to all the souls. So there is one very interesting story about Narad Muni. Once during Rajashri Yajna, such a great devotee Narad Muni, during Rajashri Yajna, as we know, Lord Krishna, on behalf of Pandavas, standing at the gate, and he was washing the feet of all the guests that are coming. So many guests are coming, and Lord Krishna personally performing the act of a Shudra, act of a, you know, Dasa, act of a servant, just to please Yudhishthira, he was washing the feet of all the people coming inside and inviting them. At that time, Narad Muni happened to come there, and immediately after seeing Lord Krishna, Narad Muni became ecstatic, and he started entering into the gate, and purposely Narad Muni was showing his feet, and Lord Krishna very lovingly washing the feet of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni became so ecstatic just by touch of the Lord Krishna's hand. His body started vibrating. He felt a transcendental bliss just by the touch of Lord Krishna. And he goes inside, roam inside the kitchen, and again comes and enters into the gate. And again, very lovingly, Lord Krishna is washing his feet. And Narad Muni is again feeling that bliss. And again he goes inside, and several times he is, you know, repeating this. And many people observed him. Narad Muni, do you know what you are doing? Lord Krishna is washing the feet. And this is Supreme Lord. And you are, you know, making Lord Krishna to touch your feet. This apradh. Narad Muni started smiling. My dear friend, what can I do? Bhagwan ka hath itna komal hai, itna madhur hai, itna blissful hai. Main tolerate nahi kar sakta hun. Main ek hi baar wash kar nahi sakta hun. Isliye barambar main aa raha hun. To barambar, you know, he was coming many times and allowing Lord Krishna to touch Narad Muni's feet. But you see the glory of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna knows that Narad Muni is coming again and again. So Lord Krishna is thinking inside his mind, my Narad Muni is most dear to me, and he is such a great devotee that in all 365 days he roams everywhere and he does my seva. He always chants my name. He always liberates the soul. He gives that transcendental knowledge to the people. He is such a great devotee. He is doing so much of seva. So if I wash his feet for several times, even if I wash his feet for several times, I cannot repay his debt. So Krishna very lovingly washing the feet of Narad Muni. So that is the glory of Narad Muni. So Kardam Muni, in the same context, there is a very beautiful prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kardam Muni, another great devotee of Lord Vishnu, so he, in his prayer, the reference of this prayer is very much towards the today's shloka. So Karda Muni, after performing tapasya, Lord Vishnu come personally to see him. At that time, being very ecstatic, Karda Muni offers the very beautiful prayers to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So one of the most important verse from this prayer is like this. Let me try to recite this.
E mayayate hatam medastatva padaravindam bhavasindu putam. E mayayate hatam medasastat padaravindam bhavasindu putam. Upasate kama lavayate sham rashisha kama niraye pieshu. Upasate kama lavayate sham rashisha kama niraye pieshu.
So the meaning of this prayer is, your lotus feet are the true vessel to take one across the ocean of mundane nescience. Only persons deprived of their intelligence by the spell of deluding energy will worship those feet with a view to attain the trivial and momentary pleasures of the senses, which even persons rotting in hell can attain. However, O my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them. So Karda Muni is saying, many people worship your lotus feet asking the benedictions of the material world, but that is available even for the worms who are stool eating or rotting in the hell. But my Lord, the true purpose of worshipping your lotus feet is to attain your eternal love. So this is a very beautiful prayer, and also most of the prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam are all talking about worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna. And worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna is so glorious that it will help us to relieve from all the debts, all the sins that we have committed in our all the previous life. So the conclusion of this verse is, taking the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet is much more faster way of progressing than undergoing this all dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So this is the conclusion of this. I thank you very much, everyone, for giving me an opportunity to recite the verses and read the purport of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. If you kindly have any questions or any comments for the next 1 or 2 minutes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This one who takes birth as a Brahmana, he owes obligation to 3 class of people, that is the demigods, saintly persons and father, correct? But that is applicable to Brahmana only?
Okay, I think this is I try to answer this. This is a very good question. See, when one takes the birth of Brahmana, at least he has these 3 debts. Because Brahmana, by virtue, who follows the path of righteous, who follows the path of, you know, dharma, and one who is on the path of dharma, it is must for him. But for others anyway who don't care, you know, at least for Brahmana, these 3 O's are very important. In fact, as you asked, it's very important to follow this righteous path for every human beings. But who cares for this? You know, nobody cares. But at least for Brahmana, because they follow this path of righteous path, for them it is, instructed in the Shastras. I hope I am...
Yes. So in Kali Yuga, everybody is born as Shudra, so they don't have to repeat it to anybody, correct?
So in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada says, Kalo Shudra Sambhavam. So everybody is born as a Shudra.
But by samskara one purifies. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Sir. Sir.
This third, thank you very much. The third kind of debt to his father by begetting children.
Yes, bro.
So this is not little difficult to understand that how by begetting children he is paying his debt to the father.
Yeah. So this is also very important question. If one enters into the grihastha life, begets children, and in fact, many people enter the grihastha life to enjoy. And by enjoying begetting children, how he repays the debt of his pitrus? That is your question, right? Now, you see, in this material world, if you see from the material context, every jivatma, every body wants to progenate so that one will follow the dynasty, their family. The fathers particularly, they are interested when in the grihastha life, my child should produce a child so that my dynasty, my kula will be continuing. Everyone wants this in the Kali Yuga. And that is how Brahmaji created the human beings, Manas Putras, because to produce, Daksha was created to produce children. Even Brahmaji had this wish. You know, Daksha, why Daksha was produced? Because to beget children, to fill this universe, to fill this material world with the Atmas. All these Atmas are roaming by separating from Lord Vishnu. They need a facility, body. You know, and if they get that body, slowly by purifying, again they come back to the Lord Vishnu. So Brahmaji's mission is to create human beings and they will produce the children. They will also help others to liberate, you know. And also Lord Krishna made these three divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishya. It's also because to maintain this samsara. And every jivatma, you know, maintains very creatively this samsara. Even the trees, you see how beautifully they progenate. Trees have the flowers. They produce very beautiful flowers. What for? Because to progenate. The flowers have a nectar. Because the tree thinks that, or the tree, purpose of tree to produce the flower, beautiful flower with the nectar, it will attract the insects. It will attract the honeybee, bumblebee, bhramara. So that bhramara will drink the nectar, it will be attracted to drink the nectar, and I will give my paragrenu, sperms. And by taking the honey, by taking the sugandha of the flower, all the insects progenate on behalf of the flowers. So in this universe, every jivatma, every body wants to progenate so that they will continue their dynasty. They will continue their kula. That's the purpose of this material world. So for a righteous Brahmana, according to Vedas, he will repay his debt. If he enters grihastha ashram, progenate, so their pitrus, forefathers will be happy because their kula is continuing. So that is the repaying the debt. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ji ki.